Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You are great. You are awesome. You are wonderful. We thank you for this night. We call this time together blessed of you. We thank you, Father, for what you have in store, for what you have planned. We thank you for each person here. We thank you for all the gifts that you placed in the house this night, Lord. We exalt Jesus Christ as Lord over the assembly this night. We receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We receive the gifts of the Spirit in operation as you see fit. We just want to yield to your flow, Father. We receive your word as fresh bread. We receive revelation, knowledge, and insight this night, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah. Today is a great day. It's a wonderful day. Good to see everybody. You are blessed. You are victorious. You are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Do any of the other ministers, have anything in your spirit to impart, to share, to bring forth? Give you a few seconds if anybody has anything. Just want to be open to the flow of the Spirit tonight. You know, one of the best things you can do is just be open. Just be open to what God wants to say, to what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, sir.
There are many seasons, there are many times, but this time and this season is your time and your season. This is what has been spoken of. This is what has been repeatedly said unto you, but I'm waiting for you to lay hold of the season. I'm waiting for you to make it yours. I'm waiting for you to decide to pick up the mantle, to say that this is my time, to command the blessing. I said to command the works of my hand. I said you can decree a thing and it shall be done. What are you going to decree? When are you going to lay hold? Stop letting the enemy steal from you because you don't think it's going to happen. Believe me. Believe me. And you will prosper and you will possess what has been released unto you.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this season, Lord. We receive your word, Lord. We receive your word, Father. We lay hold of all that you have in store for us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will not leave anything on the table. Thank you, Father. Bless your name. Glory to your name. All right. So tonight we are talking about the authority of God. And you see I have the whiteboard out, which is unusual. This is hard to see. I tell you what, for those of you listening by live stream or who are going to hear this later, I'm writing on the whiteboard. There we go. All right, that says authority over. So we're talking about the authority of God tonight. And with that, we're talking about the authority of the kingdom, because God and his kingdom are one. You can't separate the two. The authority of Christ. When we talk about the authority of God, we talk about the authority of Christ, the authority of the kingdom. Then we're also talking about the authority of Christ. So God, his kingdom, and Christ, they all flow together, work together. You can't talk about God's kingdom without talking about God. You can't talk about God without talking about Christ. So we're talking about the authority of God expressed in his kingdom, expressed through Christ, and then consequently your authority in him. When we talk about God's authority, then we're also talking about the deputized authority that you have in Christ, that you have as a citizen of the kingdom. And so when we talk about the authority of the kingdom, when you hear history talk about kingdoms of old, sometimes you hear that conversation teed up in such a way of asking the question, how deep was this kingdom? How big of a reach did this kingdom have? You may hear a kingdom from centuries and centuries ago talked about in a way how vast it was. It stretched from this land to this land and covered this entire region, this entire area. You may hear people talk about kingdoms like that. They may talk about how far did that kingdom stretch? How far did it go? What was its domain? How deep was its reach? How big was its range? Where did it apply? Where did the laws of that kingdom end and then the laws of another kingdom pick up? So again, how expansive was it? How broad was it? How big was its reach? Where could you experience its effects, feel its cultures and traditions and languages and customs and that sort of thing? So, you know, you hear people historically talk about kingdoms and their vastness and their reach and how far that they spread, how deep that they went. And so with that background and that context, I kind of want to tee up the conversation with talking about the kingdom of God and its authority, asking some of the same questions that I think people sometimes subconsciously have. How far does the kingdom of God stretch? How far does it go? Where does it touch my life? Where does it apply in my life? Does it affect just me going to heaven? Does it affect me just being forgiven of sin? Can it touch my marriage? Can it touch my finances? How big is that reach of the kingdom? What is its domain? Where does the kingdom of God and its domain fall? How deep is the reach of the kingdom of God? Where does it go? There's a parable that Jesus gave of a woman who hid yeast, leaven, in flour, and it said that it made its way all the way through until it was all leavened. It worked its way all the way through. And so the one thing I've shared with you before is that the kingdom of God seeks to make its way through every area of your life. That's the depth. That's the range of the kingdom. So in talking about the authority of the kingdom, I want to take a look at the miracles of Christ. Christ is our example, right? We say the way that he lived is the way that I live. The way that he operated is the way I operate. The way that he talked is the way I talk. And so we want to look at Christ as our example. And I want you to kind of see the miracles of Christ hopefully in a different light tonight. You know, sometimes when we talk about the miracles of Christ, we think about, he performed miracles to prove he was the Messiah. You know, that was his proof and the confirmation that he was the Messiah. And that's very, very true. Very, very true. We're not disregarding that. But there's more to it. I want to kind of, you know, open our eyes to that tonight and see the depth of the miracles of Christ, and that they do go beyond just validating him as the Messiah. I think God wants you to see something else in terms of the miracles of Christ. And so when talking about the miracles of Christ, we see the range of God's authority in the earth. We see the range of God's authority in the earth. We see the range of his kingdom in the earth, And when we look at the miracles of Christ, we see precedents being set. We see precedents being set of kingdom authority being established. We see precedents being set of kingdom authority being established here in the earth. So what is God wanting you to see? He's wanting you to see the range of his authority and the range of kingdom authority here in the earth through the miracles of Christ. Okay, so that's what we're kind of going to get into tonight. Luke chapter 11 and verse 20. Jesus says, "But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." If I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And so we see that the kingdom is made manifest by the fact that the demons were removed. That was a manifestation of the kingdom. We see the expression of God's authority in that. So, first miracle we're going to take a look at, John chapter 2, in verse 1. "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says to you, do it.' Now there were six stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' So they filled them up to the brim, and he said to them, 'Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter.' So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, 'Every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now.'" So here we have a situation where there was something missing. What was missing? The wine was missing. When we read the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000, they had two fish and five loaves. And the disciples said, what? "That is not enough. That is not enough. We don't have enough here to feed all of these people." Here, there was not enough wine to last. So in these two miracles, turning water into wine and the feeding of the masses, we see Jesus do what? We see him take authority over what? Over lack. We see him take authority over lack. He's setting a precedent that the kingdom has authority over lack. That God has authority over lack. John chapter 11, verse 43. "When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' Then the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to him, 'Unbind him,'" or loose him, "and let him go." Okay, so most of us in this room know the account here. Lazarus has died. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus comes and he raises him from where?
The dead.
The dead. So here we see Jesus take authority over what?
Death.
We see Jesus take authority over death in the earth. Okay? Are y'all seeing that? So we see him in one miracle, kingdom authority established over lack, kingdom authority established over death. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard." We did what? We worked hard all night and did what?
Nothing.
Caught nothing. Okay? When you work hard and have no results, we call that what? Failure. Failure. They got an F that night in catching fish. So we see Jesus tell them to cast their nets out. They cast out their net and they took in a multitude of fish. What did Jesus take authority over? He took authority over failure, stating that the kingdom of God has authority over failure. When failure and the kingdom of God meet, the kingdom of God trumps failure. Okay? So that means that you have authority over failure. You have authority over lack. You have authority over death. Jesus cast out unclean spirits. He cast out demons from people. And he showed that he had authority over who? Authority over the devil. The devil is not greater than God, is not greater than Jesus. He had authority over the devil. John chapter 8, verse 23. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep, and they said to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey?" What is authority? The ability to have things obey you. The ability to have what you say and what you declare to have a response to it. So in this situation, Jesus took authority over what? He showed that he has authority over creation. The kingdom has authority over creation. Pastor said on Sunday, being saved, there's much more to this than just being saved.
Yep.
Than just having your sins forgiven or just going to heaven. You have authority in the earth through Christ and because you are a kingdom citizen. Jesus preached the truth. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And he opened the spiritual eyes of people, showing that the kingdom has authority over ignorance. The ability to bring insight, revelation, truth. Open the eyes of people who are spiritually blind. The kingdom has authority in that situation. God has authority in that situation. Jesus, when they brought the woman to Jesus who had been found in adultery, he said, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." He approached one man before he healed him. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And they said, "Who but God can forgive sins?" And Jesus said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins." So we know that there is kingdom authority over sin. God has authority over sin. You have authority over sin. He healed the sick. When he came across the sick, to those who, he didn't heal everybody, but those who believed, those who came to him in faith, "I will by no means cast you out." Those who came to him in faith, he healed. And so what is Jesus doing? He is setting benchmarks. He is setting precedents. He is establishing a beachhead of the kingdom in the earth and saying, this is the range of the kingdom. This is where its authority goes. It goes over lack. It goes over death. It goes over failure. It's authority over the devil, authority over creation, authority over ignorance, authority over sin, authority over sickness. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach the kingdom. He said, the kingdom is here because the kingdom representative is here. And he walked in kingdom authority and then gave that authority over to you. How far does kingdom authority reach? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us how much? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. How far does the kingdom reach? How far do the promises of God reach? Into everything. Anything that pertains to life, living, your needs, what you need, anything pertaining to life and godliness, your spiritual growth, your spiritual development, there are promises of God for that. The kingdom reaches into all of those areas. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, how much authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You have to see the kingdom in application in the earth. The kingdom applies to the earth. Jesus said, pray in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is not just about going to heaven. This is not just about seeing God in heaven one day. It is walking in kingdom authority here on the earth and establishing God's kingdom authority here on the earth, first in my own life, allowing the kingdom to have authority in every area of my life, my marriage, my finances, my body, my mind, my relationships, in every area of my life. And then allowing the kingdom of God to flow out of me, allowing kingdom authority to flow out of me, to take authority over all the power of the enemy in other people's lives, to those who believe, to those who have faith. So he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Who is kingdom authority available to? It's available to all nations, to those that believe. To all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ is with you. If you're a believer, Christ is with you. God is at work in you to grow in kingdom authority. We have to grow in kingdom authority. We have to grow in our understanding of the authority that we have. So once you grow in one, you mature in one level of authority, then you go on to the next. And you learn how to rule and take dominion, God's original intent. You learn how to rule and take dominion over finances, over lack. You learn how to rule and take dominion over ignorance, over sin, over failure. There is nothing that's going to occur in your life as a believer where a precedent of kingdom authority has not already been set up and established for you to lay hold of and say, that applies to me too. That applies to my life. That applies to this situation. There's no situation that you're going to come across where a promise of God does not apply to it, and you can receive it, lay hold of it, and walk free of that thing. Jesus set precedence. He set up a beachhead, a stronghold of kingdom authority here in the earth for us to lay hold of, for us to walk in, and us to distribute to other people. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. What is the reach of the kingdom of God? Where does it stretch? Where is its domain? And what areas of my life does it apply to? Is there an area that the kingdom of God cannot touch? Am I going to have a problem that the kingdom of God will not address? Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Let's look at the range of those who are in heaven, those who are on earth, and those who are under the earth. In heaven, he has authority. It's authority given by the Father. He has authority in heaven. He has authority on the earth. And he has authority under the earth because he's been to all places. He has passed through the heavens. And he has established authority in all three of those areas. That is the range of the kingdom of God in your life. Every time that Jesus performed a miracle, most of the times that he performed a miracle, every time he did a great work, every time something was defeated, every time that lack was put down, we saw lack being put down. Every time death was put down, every time failure was put down in his ministry, every time the devil was put down, every time creation was put down, every time ignorance was put down, every time sin was put down, every time sickness was put down, Jesus was establishing God's authority. He was not giving God authority. The authority already existed, but he was establishing it where? Here on the earth. Every time he did these things, ground was being taken and brought into the kingdom. All culminating in his resurrection, where he had now been in heaven, came down on earth, now going under the earth, establishing authority there, for death could not hold him. The demons could not hold him. He was brought out. And now he says, all authority. I've ascended, or I've been to all places. I'm ascending back to the Father. I've passed through all. Right. I've gone through all. I have authority at all three levels in all three places. Right. And guess what? The good news is that he gave that authority to us. He gave us that authority to rule and to reign here in the earth, establish God's kingdom, and bring us back to God's original intent. What was God's original intent? Have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. Take authority, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, have rule over creation. Have rule here in the earth. So the word tonight is, you have authority. It is not of your own origin. It is not of your own doing. It is deputized authority from your Lord and Savior, your Redeemer, Christ Jesus. It is authority as a citizen of the kingdom of God. It belongs to you because you are part of the kingdom. You are a born-again spirit. You are a new creation. You are a new creature. The old has passed away. The new has come. This is not about just having your sins forgiven, although that's great. That's awesome. This is not just about going to heaven. It's not just about going to church. This is a way of existing. This is a way of being. You are a spirit being, and you have authority and power available to you that you've not yet tapped into. The encouragement tonight is go and tap into it. No, you're not going to take the city tomorrow. But you continue to grow, continue to develop, continue to press into the word. It's not just about coming to prayer meeting, coming to church. It's not just about having a Bible on your dashboard or on your coffee table. It's about, I'm a new species of being here in the earth. I am born again, birthed again into the earth. I have an eternal spirit, and God and the Spirit of God flows through me to rule and reign and dominate first here. And then this right here is Jerusalem. Then after I get Jerusalem home, you are the temple of the living God. After I get home, under authority, then my eyes are set to who else can I bless? Who else can I help? Who else can I allow God to flow through me to bring into the liberty of the kingdom? There are no boundaries. There are no bounds to where the kingdom of God can go. It flows and it goes into every arena and every area of life. So we have to be open in our spirit to say, God, use me. Flow through me. God, I am open and I accept and I embrace you working in my finances to see lack broken. Father, I receive you working in my body to see sickness broken because you set a beachhead. You set a precedent of having authority over that sickness and disease that's attacking my body. We have to hear this over and over again so that our expectancy is where it needs to be to receive what we have, to receive what we are. That's why it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. You have authority. We have authority. It is God-given authority, deputized authority. You don't take it and use it on your own. It's all under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So allow him to flow through you. Allow him to change you. Allow him to work in you. And most importantly, allow him to show you and give you revelation. The more revelation that you get, the more light that's being shined into your spirit and your mind on who you are in Christ and the authority that you have, and the more revelation that you're getting on the kingdom of God, it causes you to walk in arenas and realms that you've not yet walked in yet. The more you're hearing and hearing and hearing about your authority, God's authority through you over lack, and you're hearing that over and over again, it's creating a expectancy in your spirit of faith to where even when you're not confessing it, you're walking around and operating with an expectancy of faith that words can't even describe. You are faith in action. You are faith en route, and your spirit is drawing things to yourself because that expectancy of faith is there because you've been hearing and hearing and hearing about who you are in Christ. Make sure that you're taking time to meditate the word on a regular basis and reading scriptures about who you are in Christ, the type of person that you've become, the being that you are in Christ, your new nature, your eternal nature. That is going to raise that expectation on the inside of you and inspire you to not be limited by the devil, to not be limited by people, and to not be limited by circumstances. It may take some time, but you continue to press towards it. You continue to press towards it. And you begin to allow God to set precedence through you, to walk in an arena that maybe other believers haven't yet walked in yet. But because you're hearing it, you're embracing who you are in Christ, the true you, right? Not who you used to be, but you're embracing the true you, who you are in Christ. You may walk in a place that other believers haven't yet walked in, and you may be setting the precedent because God is working in you. You may be the first one to flip that number over there on the wall because you're embracing who you are in Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, that was the word for tonight. You are blessed. You are victorious. You are more than conquerors. And you have authority here on the earth over anything that the devil may try to throw at you, that people may try to throw at you, that circumstances may try to throw at you. It may take some time. You may have to let God work with you, but you can go there. You can go there. So accept that this night that I'm going there. I'm going to a place that I've not yet been. I'm pressing into arenas that I've not yet pressed into because God has given me deputized authority to do so. Father, we thank you. We shared your word this night. We ask you to seal it in our hearts, in our spirits, in our minds to allow us to rise up daily, grow in this, Father, become this, become who we actually are in Christ. To be who you've called us to be, Father. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. We say Jesus is Lord over our lives, and we have authority in and through him. And we are anticipating what you will do in us, through us, and in our lives, and the life and that life more abundantly that we will experience, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Well, you are blessed. Go with God.